So yeah, first of all, I want to say welcome to Berlin.
Thanks.
The spiritual home of all that is beautiful and weird, as you put it in the diary.
Did I say that? There you go. Well, it's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's such a beautiful phrase, actually. I think it's perfectly describing what's going on here. So
yeah, it was. It's always been that way for me ever since I was a kid.
Yeah,
I always kind of imagine this satellite just kind of wandering around the world, and it was called Berlin.
Seriously?
Yeah, no, really. Yeah, yeah, as a kid, because I heard it on the radio when I was a kid, and you'd hear about this music coming out of Berlin, and we knew it was attached to Europe in some way, but we couldn't quite work out how, because it wasn't really.
Yeah.
It was when it was out there, or out here, and just kind of thought, wow, weird stuff happens there in this strange island that kind of just wanders around all on its own.
Wow, that's a beautiful image, actually. So yeah, I read in another interview that you did lately that with the new album you also wanted to return to your sort of German electronic roots.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell me more about.
Well, again, as kids, hearing the music that was coming out of Germany in the late 60s and early 70s, and people like Kraftwerk. Were huge for us because it was so different. It was so fresh and different, and there wasn't music ever like it. And it was like music from another planet. And I grew up in a very tiny community that was nowhere, and actually it was beyond nowhere. And so this was music. I was growing up around kids that were into rock music, and this music appeared, and I thought, wow, it just spoke to me, and I didn't know how it was made, but it just sounded so fresh. And then the more I heard on late night radio, was this strange music came out of Germany, and I couldn't work out why, but that's where I had this.
We still don't know how this happened. I guess.
Well, it's interesting because I think I have researched it a lot, and it was the war, and it was the reinvention of German culture by youth, and not wanting to make American music or British music, but wanting to make music that was your own. And thank God, you know, because we wouldn't have techno, we wouldn't have any electronic music if it hadn't been for that. And for us, of course, that was really, really exciting, because that didn't happen to us. We just carried on with the same old stuff and just sort of gradually change, but it was a radical change here, and it produced this exciting music.
Yeah. So, I guess that's also related to that you said that boredom was your source of inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, big source of inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, when I, for example, look at the diary that's on the website, one can see that
I'm getting bored.
No, that you're actually, you draw a lot of inspiration also from traveling.
Yeah.
That's the impression that I got. So yeah, is that moment of transition like a key element of what
inspires you? God, it's painful. Your transition's painful, so painful. I can travel and I can be home, but moving between the two is really, it's like your head's been taken off and put back on backwards. But I loved traveling. Once I've accepted that I'm no longer at home, then it's like, well, okay, then what's going on?
Yeah.
And what's going on over there? And what's that over there? And we were talking about this last night. I really like to wander. And I've got, over the years, I've built up lots of friends around the world, and I'll tend not to tell them I'm in town because they want me to stop in one place and talk, or go and have a meal, or go and see something. And they want to be together and engage. And me, I just want to wander the streets and find out what's up there, and what's up that alleyway, and what's in that building. And,
yeah.
You know, what's going on in there, and just keep discovering. Because when I'm back home, I'm in one place, so I want to just wander.
So you actually, enjoy the time for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I write every day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I write down all the things that are going on, and I photograph it all. And document it and take all this information back to the UK for us to make into records or books or web releases or art exhibitions.
And yeah.
It's the gathering of information. I've been doing it like this for over 20 years now, and I've passionate about it. It's kind of obsessive about it, really. I feel it quite hard to be sat in a room.
Yeah.
I could be out there finding out what's going on.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And are there any artists that also inspire you? I don't know, when I was, maybe you weren't involved in making the videos that much, I'm not sure, but when I looked at them, I instantly thought of Ólafur Eliasson, the Danish-Icelandic artist. He's very much involved with color, and that's where I thought.
Can you spell that for me?
Okay, O-L-A-F-U-R, and then E-L-I-A-S-S-O-M.
Fantastic. I'm going to look at that.
Well, maybe you should, if you find the time, because he has an exhibition going on in Berlin.
If I had to, I have no time.
Wow, it's too bad, because it's amazing. It's like magic.
Really? And uses video, does he look?
No, he's more. He's mostly working with installations, but it's a combination of urban elements, color, light.
I wish you hadn't told me that.
Sorry. Yeah, maybe you can bribe someone, I don't know.
You could just go this way. Just go out the back.
It's actually really around the corner.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Shit. Well, actually, I don't have to fly out of here. I have to drive down to... I have to drive to Leipzig, but... So maybe I can fit it in later.
Maybe.
But that's great, because that's what I did. I was an installation artist. That's what I did my degree in. And,
yeah.
That's where my roots are, so...
Yeah, I bet you find a lot of connections there.
Yeah, fantastic.
So this is just what I was thinking of, regarding inside the gallery, but maybe outside the gallery, I think you also find a lot of things that...
The streets, the streets are really important to me. There's a poetry on the streets, and there's a rhythm to cities that's very different. Every city has its own signature, and I see... Everything is fragments. Everything is just fragments, the colour, the sound there, smell, thoughts, more colour, shapes, but just all fragments that kind of interlock. And that's what I write down. I write down the fragments of the day, and that becomes the lyrics or the books that we write or the things that we put out on the internet. And so the streets are more important to me, really. The gallery is a different thing. The gallery is a magical place, but that's a kind of going, like going to school in a great way, going to college, and it's kind of real learning, like food.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, I think when you're out in the streets, you build the artwork yourself by putting the things together.
It's a rhythm that I like to follow and respond to. What's interesting is I write it all down, and I don't really think about it. And then I read it back and go, God, yeah, that really was Berlin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, look, Tokyo. Oh, Tokyo was so different. Look how the words are different.
Oh, very cool. So, getting back to the album, the first single is Scribble, and also the collaboration with High Contrast.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but to me it sounds like a rather different sound of Underworld than the typical...
Yeah,
that we usually get. So, would you say it's something new?
Yes, and good. Good because of it. That tune, we had a big drum and bass tune called You Do Scribble that we were playing live and working out things live. A lot of this music was written live in front of the audiences. And when we finished it, my partner Rick, who is the producer, said he'd like to get the response of a drum and bass producer, and High Contrast for someone that we'd been supporting as another artist for a long time, since his second album, High Society. Absolutely loved this uplifting drum and bass, because we remember drum and bass when it was quite
joyous.
Dark.
Yeah.
Drum and bass should be very dark. His sound is so joyous, and we thought, this is going to work with us. And it did. And there was a lot of rewriting that went on, and he was great to work with. I love doing that song live. It feels like Underworld to me, because it's about celebration, so it still feels like us.
Yeah. And it's actually funny because when I saw the video for the first time, I thought you must be big fans of Top Gear.
Everybody's big fans of Top Gear.
That's true.
It was funny because we were driving to, I work with Brian Eno sometimes, and we were driving to a concert with Brian, and the guy who was driving is also the man who does all the video for mm-hmm. us on stage. And he was making the video, and he handed me, I don't have it with me, but we use these tiny little video cameras, high definition, but they're tiny, like that mm-hmm. big. And he handed it to me, plugged his iPod into the stereo and said, make a video.
Great. Okay, wow, the result is actually, yeah, it's pretty
good. It was fun, yeah, it was very instant, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, you already mentioned that. I mean, Underworld has always been a project where a lot of different types of media have been merging. So I saw that you have those films that are inspired by the music.
Yeah.
So who are the people that did the stuff?
Mostly guys at Tomato.
Uh-huh.
Because we're still part of Tomato, and we're still enjoying the dialogue between artists and musicians. So we've asked a few other people. So they're friends that we've just invited in to say, do you want to make something inspired by this? Because also we like if there's any money, we like giving it to friends.
Yeah.
You know, for them to make their art. And we've grown up doing that, really. So it's just nice to see how people interpret it. Sometimes it's not how I see it, but that's interesting as well, because maybe 2 years from now I'll look at it and go, I really like that.
Yeah, cool. So, let me have a look again. I had a question there. Now it's gone. Damn it.
It's okay.
Okay.
Between the lines.
Yeah, maybe somewhere. But yeah. Oh no. Because I've seen that there's only one video uploaded so far. Mm. So will the others follow?
Or? Yeah, they will. Yeah, there's at least one for all the other tracks, sometimes two or three.
Okay.
Because we just said who wants to make what,
yeah,
and let people make whatever they wanted to. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah, we'll see more.
We will. Yeah, we'll definitely see more. And there's another version of the album as well, which is like a special package, which is really beautiful, in a box that has three discs, which is this album, the original tracks that we finished and sent out, a DVD, and then vinyl, and a beautiful book of artworks.
Wow, that's a lot of
that. Yeah, yeah, it's why my partner isn't here, because he's always finishing these versions and things like that. But no, I'm really proud of this one, because it's something that we've never done that. We've never put out the original versions, and they trickle down sometimes. Or if we do a radio show, we'll give them away on the air. But it's really nice to be able to tell the whole story,
mm-hmm.
because also I know that some of our older fans might find this album a little hard to accept, because it's a much more contemporary sound, and it's us celebrating what we love about contemporary culture right now, and working with younger artists, which it comes natural to us, but for some of our older fans it might find it a bit hard. The original versions, I'm sure, are things that they can get their head around.
Mm-hmm.
So at least there's something
they can cling to.
I like that phrase. They can cling to. Yeah.
So, yeah, and yeah, we've already been talking a bit about it, but you're not only busy with making music, but also with painting.
Yeah, yeah.
And with doing other kinds of art yourself. So, yeah, when I see your works, you're like a creative butterfly to me. So I also saw that you have this upcoming exhibition in Japan.
Yeah.
With the very, very beautiful question, what's going on in your head when you're dancing?
Yeah.
So I think it's a great question to put out there. So I'm going to put it to you, and maybe you can answer.
Well, yeah, if you go on the website, you'll see that all the paintings are there under art. What's going on in my head when I'm dancing? There's a lot of, like, thousands of things go on all at once. It's how am I going to get across the stage and articulate these rhythms that Rick is producing in a way which translates my emotions, and connects, makes a bridge to the audience so that they can send back their energy and their excitement so that we can translate that into music again.
Yeah.
How am I going to do that in an interesting way, and how can I do it in an honest way? And I see all these shapes start to appear, which is like the potential moves that I'm going to make. Thousands of shapes just appear. And at the same time, it's like, what's that cable? And that security guard's looking interesting. And, oh, they're looking quite cool. And what did he just do? And he waved at me, and the lights are coming in, and the smoke, and the strobes, and all these things are all happening at the once. At once, you've got to make us split-second decisions. And so that's what's going on in my head when I'm dancing. And then I'm recalling things that I remember from right the way back to when I was a kid. And all the dance moves I've ever seen. So everything from Tamla Motown to James Brown to Prince to rave dancers to anything I've ever seen, people moving with their hands, you know, and martial arts, everything that's to do with the beautiful movements that people make when they're using their body in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. And it comes at once, and I have to start cutting them together. And so all of that is happening at the same time. And I'm just trying to capture that in the paintings in the exhibition. There are some films in the exhibition where I've got the guys filming me with my hands, trying to show, you know, these are the shapes that are in my head when I'm dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're huge, and they're big, and they're small, and they're all interlocking with each other. And that's what I have to do when I dance. So the paintings are that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a long answer, isn't it?
No, but it's good. yeah, and that's also something I want to refer to, because it says that there will be videos showing the painting process, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get the feeling that you like this sort of creative transparency for everyone out there should see what's happening when you do the things that you do. Is that very important for you?
It is. Yeah, it is. It is important because it's a bridge for people to just to get into it. I think I don't know. I just thought really, I stopped making art at the end of the 70s because I felt it was too exclusive, and it was my school friends were intimidated by art galleries, and everybody around me said, we can't make art. You know, I was the only kid that ever went to art school from my village, and I couldn't understand it. I loved galleries and I loved art, and but everyone else said, oh, I can't be an artist. And it's what's always attracted me to outsider art, because I see people who haven't been to art school that are driven to make fantastic things in their garden or in their house, and sometimes they're small things, sometimes they're things that consume their lives. Everybody can make art, everybody can make music. It's not necessarily going to be their career, and it's not necessarily going to turn the world on, but everybody can do it. And I think that by showing the process, it's not a case of demystifying something, it's just making it less intimidating, going, oh, you think that's beautiful. That's what I did to make that. Now, okay, maybe I've got a lot of years of experience of doing that, and maybe I've seen a lot of things, and that. But that's what I did, and I followed this journey for some years, and it resulted in this. So, go on, you have a go.
Yeah.
You make some marks.
And do you get a lot of feedback to that?
Well, it's early days, because, as I say, I stopped for about 10 years through the 80s making art. Apart from in a private way, and then with Tomato we started to do installations, and we did a big installation in Munich here, and we did another one in Tokyo, and we've done them in America and in the UK, and that was my reintroduction to galleries. And what was nice was that people were coming to galleries that never would. I remember a couple traveling all the way from Berlin to Munich who'd never been to an art gallery, but they were prepared to because of Underworld's music.
Well,
and I thought that's the bridge.
Yeah,
that's what we
definitely
want. So feedback. This is my first one-man exhibition, so I haven't had any.
It must be very exciting.
Feedback. Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah, Rick and I have done exhibitions in the past together.
Yeah, I've heard about this Oblivion Ball.
Yeah, that was huge. Massive. It was huge. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we did a smaller one in New York, and we have a group called Art Jam, where a number of us do performance art. We create artworks in public spaces, mm-hmm. And then leave them there. And that's another important part of it. So getting feedback. No, I haven't. But there again, at the moment, I haven't looked for it because I've wanted to cut myself off and just focus without opinion about on making the art. And I've got a group of art friends who I send pictures to. Sometimes the galleries in London, New York, who are friends, and our friends in Tomato, and they'll give me their opinion because some of them are teachers, and I'm okay, all right, and I'll take on board because I still need to learn. So it's no one's ever asked me that. Not yet, but I'm feeling like it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think it's necessarily like there doesn't have to be a feedback, but most people who do art, like, you get the impression that most of them actually do it just for the feedback.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So
no, because I live in a world of feedback.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Art is to me an opportunity to not be in underworld, to not be around opinion. Mm. It's detached from that and.
So the result is more like, pure.
It's about process for me. This exhibition is a result of several years' work. It's the several years that's important, mm-hmm. Because I'm already moved on to the next show and the process of working. I wrote once in a song, the pressure of opinion, on one of the early tracks and. And that it's true, you know, I used to feel that, the pressure of opinion, and now I don't.
Wow, this is great.
Do you know the work of Alan Kaprow?
No.
He was in the 60s, he was kind of like the godfather of happenings.
Uh-huh.
And I remember studying him when I was at art school. But he did some really interesting things, but that's kind of where happenings started.
Yeah.
Around people like him and John Cage and... But using found materials and making things out of them.
Cool.
Check out Kaprow.
Okay.
Alan Kaprow. Yeah. Last time I was here, a few weeks ago, it's really hot. Oh. No, it's not quite so hot now.
Yeah, the heat wave was...
Not good.
No, not at all.
Same everywhere. I just come from Tokyo and it was just unbearable.
Yeah, I spent the last week in Norway where it's like 5 degrees less than here. So great.
Nice. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. I definitely enjoyed it.
Check out the exhibition when it opens. We're going to run a web camera. I'm going over there, not next week, the week after. Tokyo to open it. And then I'm doing a live painting. I'm actually painting a shed.
Cool.
And it's a very Japanese shed because it looks nude. It looks like a naked shed. I don't know if you can imagine that. It looks very,
I think, yeah,
very
I'm
weird.
Trying. Yeah.
But I'm doing a performance here. So we'll open on the 25th, I think, of this month. And we'll have webcams up showing the installation of the exhibition. And then I'm going to do this performance for when it opens to the public.
Oh yeah, I definitely need to.
Yeah.
And yeah, just make sure that it's the right time zone.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
That's great.
Okay,
bye,
let's
Mickey.
See. Yeah, Mickey did a good job, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah.